This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Start your engines.
Race fans, you are tuning into the only motorsports show in San Diego. Your host, Dave Stahl, and the racing school teacher, Brittany Sandoval, are taking you to the green flag, covering everything from your top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Strap in, it's Checkers and Wreckers on Racer Radio.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
This hour is brought to you by Southwest Point of Sale. If you have a little small business, grocery store, liquor store, and you're looking for help in the cashier department, you can't find anybody, then you might want to check out Southwest Point of Sale. They do self-checkout. They'll come to your business, take a look. And if their system fits your system, it wouldn't cost you any more than a new cash register. They also have meat and produce scales. You can do a lot of the adjustments away from the store. And the bonus is Southwest Point of Sale has 7 day a week, 24-hour day service. If you're open, they're open. All you got to do is call Jeff or Mark, and they are there. 800-540-2149. Still not convinced? At least call them. Tell them you heard it on the radio, and they'll sit down and explain it to you. Or you can go online at southwestpointofsale.com. Also, San Diego Gear and Axle. Anything under your car, Steve can take care of it. Front wheel, two wheel, all wheel, transfer case, upgrades. Going from automatic to stick, stick to automatic, doesn't make any difference. Go to sdgearaxle.com. And Black Forest Automotive, they are your dealer alternative. Save yourself a ton of money. They're at 8066 Engineer Road in San Diego. That's Black Forest Automotive. Go check these guys out. And if you have the desire to go racing, they've got trophies that can hook you up. They'll teach you how to get to that checkered flag. All right. Got the kid in the house.
Yes.
Didn't go play in the mud last night.
No, I did not.
So she decided to rest up. Relax.
I was with my crew.
And you're with your crew.
I spent time with my crew meeting a new kitten they adopted and having dinner and washing that dinner down with some fun liquids.
Yes,
yeah. Hey, Brendan, are you there?
I am.
Already, you wanna roll a tape?
Oh no, I forgot about that. Okay, hold on 1 second. Give me like a few seconds.
Through the window. Okay, we
what
can stall.
Did he? Easy with that.
We can stall. Yeah, I didn't go play out in the mud because I still have motor issues. Yeah, it's hard to find a Gixxer 0708. I'm hoping to save mine.
Well, I was going
to
say, you have to replace it or have you tore it down yet?
I'm hoping not to. I have somebody who's amazing. He's always kept it. He's refreshed it. He's always kept it up to par.
But you can only refresh so many times.
Hey, let's not talk like that. Let's be positive. Glass half full. It's just I'm on a wait list, we'll say.
Oh, for as far as getting it in the shop.
And I want him. He's the best. Right. He's great and it's willing to wait.
I also agree with you 100%. I love racing, but it's got to be right.
I talked to Ryan O'Connor about Friday. He's like, "You racing tomorrow?" I still have motor issues. My car, the little 37, she has always protected me. Mm-hmm. Like there's just like the Panhard brakes as I'm pulling off. Like if I was going 60 miles an hour in a turn and that happens, you know, I spin out into the wall. Like she always protects me.
Right.
So I just have a feeling
she's
protecting
me
right now. Because there's three or four times.
Well, and she deserves it to be done correctly.
Yeah.
So you can stand on it.
Yeah.
And
trust.
That is the hot. Those things are so high revving. It just hurts my ears.
Yeah, it's kind of reminding me of our guest. So roll the tape, please.
In all the forms of motorsport I have ever witnessed, I have never seen anything that compares with Speedway motorcycle competition. It is the most intensive balance of man and machine there is. Just four laps to prove yourself in any race. And this is not just any race. Welcome to Anaheim, California. These are the World Quarterfinals. And working with me tonight, I'm honored to have here the four-time Speedway motorcycle champion, Barry Briggs from Christchurch, New Zealand. Barry, tell us a little bit about this competition.
Well, this is a very critical stage for the American boys. Only two of tonight's contestants go through to the Intercontinental Final in in England, and it's a very, very important meeting. 10 U.S. riders who qualified here, for the most part in Southern California. 6 American riders who qualified through British League. They're down here on the start-finish line right now, and with them at the start-finish line is Dave Despain.
Cannes Speedway is perhaps the most intense of all motorsports, because when that starting gate flies up, four riders literally launch themselves into a frenzy of roaring engines and showering dirt. 60 seconds, that's it. No second chances. And when it's all done, then we're going to crown the two guys who will go on to Europe.
All righty. So, if that
didn't bring back some memories, not for you, because you're not old enough. Did you know Dave Despain?
I know. Yes.
That was my idol.
Well, this is good to keep in my back pocket. But with that introduction, I was hoping to get across just, some may say insanity, but the intensity of Speedway. We have one of those American boys that they were referring to. Yeah. Our guest today in-house was one of those American boys. I think he can tell us even more than I anticipated about that very race. Please welcome living legend, Rocket Ron Preston.
Mr. 60 Seconds. Yeah, wouldn't exactly. That be a good name?
Jeez, not anymore.
Yeah. But brings back some old memories, huh?
It does. Actually gave me butterflies here.
Yeah. You know, I posted that race. I watched that. That's what I did Friday night. And there's they get so excited about you during those races, multiple races.
That was a heartbreak night for me.
So Bruce Penhall ran away with it.
Yep.
And then three of you were tied for second.
Well, they didn't show the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I won every race except for one, and Bruce beat me in that one.
Yeah.
But I beat Scott Autry and Dennis Sagalos, mm-hmm. and I was on my way to being one of the two, mm-hmm. and had an engine failure.
Oh!
You know about that.
Yeah. That was a tough one.
They say that's part of racing, but that doesn't always put the hurt
doesn't
away.
Doesn't make it feel better.
Doesn't make you feel better, yeah. And what were you whispering to me in that intro?
So the guy that was commentating, Barry Briggs, four-time mm-hmm. world champion,
yep.
he's still a friend of mine. He rides his dirt bike twice a week, 50 miles
to this
day.
That was dirt bike, you were saying, 50 miles.
Wow. Yep. Well, who do we got that's still racing?
Oh, Lars Larson. He comes back next week.
Does he?
I reached out to him because
so
it's
Lars
October.
Larson, what's he in his?
He's 82.
Still races and wins.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's still a factory rider.
In the triple senior division.
Yeah. So that, listeners, I posted it. Maybe, Dave, we're Facebook friends. Maybe you'll share it. That is fun to watch. And there were more segments I was going to reach out to Brendan to get. But, and Ron Preston, he's leading the way. It was awesome.
So, Ron, let me ask you this. I mean, because there was a time when Speedway was the king. I mean,
10,000 in the crowd, you said, when you were in high school.
Yep.
But it seems to have waned a little bit. Why do you suppose that is?
We've always tried to figure that out. I think it was because there are no Speedway bikes in the window of the Yamaha shop. And there's not a track in Barona
and
Carlsbad.
Right.
Hey, though, can you tell our listeners when you were in high school what it was like for you?
So I rode motocross until I got 16, and then you had to be 16 to get a pro license. So I got my pro license.
For Speedway?
Yeah, for Speedway.
So what drove you to Speedway?
When I was 11, my aunt and uncle took me to Costa Mesa in 1969.
That's all it takes.
And that's 10,000 people in the stands.
It was insanity.
And this is no brakes.
I know. Yeah. No brakes, no seatbelt, no roll cage.
Well, I mean, just the fact that you have no brakes, and all it is just flat out two-stroke power.
Four strokes.
Or four. Yeah. Didn't they start with two strokes?
Though? No.
Always they were four. Always four?
Yeah, and back in those days, you could run any fuel you wanted. So we ran
including
nitro.
Alcohol.
Yeah, the mystery fuels.
Yeah, everybody runs methanol, but back then you could pour the can to it. And it had a straight pipe.
Listeners, you can't see his grin.
Yeah, it was a different motorcycle to ride.
Yeah, I can see his crew chief now. Hey, I got something I want you to try.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me see what this is all about.
Yep.
And he comes back and his hair is still straight back.
But high school, you're showing up.
Yeah.
You go to school in the morning.
All right, let's get down dirty. What year?
1976. I was rookie of the year. And I got the attention of a guy named Ed Williams, and he was my mentor, basically.
Awesome.
And he sponsored a guy named Danny Becker. And His name was Berserko Becker.
Berserko.
And he, so when Berserko quit racing, he had two bikes and a guy from San Bernardino that was a sprint car guy for Jay East. He said, "I'll buy those bikes if you'll ride them."
Ooh.
And I didn't flinch.
Yeah, you didn't.
No, are you kidding? Yeah. Because was that something you wanted to do with Speedway?
That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that, and you've got to be pretty driven to follow that whole course that I did, Speedway. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you said you sold all your motocross stuff.
Yep.
And said, "I'm going to Speedway."
Yep.
Yeah.
And I did that, and I must have crashed 50 times in the first year because they're hard to learn how to ride.
Well, they're not like riding a normal one. Doesn't the throttle go the other way?
No.
Does it go back?
Oh, no, urban legend.
No.
But you don't want to let off, right? Then you get traction and thrown off.
Right, yeah.
And they will throw you off.
Is it one of those, and my dad always tells me, the harder you drive it, the harder you ride it, the better it works?
Yeah, there's a point in your career when you realize that you found the stop on the throttle, and then you know that that's where you need to be for
and
four laps.
And if you go just
for
a little
four laps.
But if you go a tad farther, she will get your attention.
And that's the thing, it's only four laps, because for drivers we have 20, and they always say at the driver's meeting, you don't win on the first turn, but it almost sounds like in Speedway you do.
You practice starts all the time.
That's all you do.
But the difference over here, the tracks are real small. They're little 180 yard tracks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought 300. Oh, that's right. Okay, so here.
And then, so in 77, after racing here, I had an opportunity to go to Australia, and the tracks over there are big.
What's big? 300?
3/8 miles.
Whoa. Let's take a break. Come back and continue this after you do a little Barona
Tiny
update.
Barona and more of our legend.
Let's do it right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where absolutely nobody treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Whether you're buying new, used, or service, you really can't do any better than El Cajon Ford. Go to ElCajonMotors.com. Paul and his family race at Barona Speedway, and they're very, very supportive. They sponsor this show, and I can't thank them enough, because we have the opportunity to get the Barona boys and girls on air along with the other tracks, because Paul and his team, the last thing they want to see is another racetrack shut down. So if you're looking for a new Ford product, Mustang E, regular Mustang, Broncos, they've got inventory and they will take care of you. Go to El Cajon Ford at 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon, and tell them you heard it right here on Racer Radio. All right, young lady.
All right. Regarding Barona, the main events were rained out. I don't think there's going to be a makeup race, especially since the IMCA
finals.
It's pretty much done. There's been no announcement that I know of. But there are two more races on the calendar. October 14th is the next race, followed by the final, most likely October 28th, which will include the Spooky Showdown and probably the kind of that trunk or treat thing. Last year was fun. All the racers after the junior main events before the adult main events, we all took our cars out there and had candy, and I had stickers and all that stuff. And then that shout out, because he got a little short changed this morning on KUSI RPM. That looks like had his Robert Peters and had his big
rig
work truck out there, because he is helping to sponsor that Spooky Showdown. I think he's given out gift cards for some of the winners.
So is Racer Radio.
Oh, of course. You're so good about that.
It's only money.
Mark Rose is not calling in. I think he's having a good time right now at the Carlsbad Motocross Reunion.
I seen him and
Ollie. Michael Lewis minus one. Yeah.
So and, they're having fun.
And finally, Dirt Dude, I'm sure, is listening because he's a fan of Speedway.
Yeah, he is.
Well. Yeah, so.
So, that's too bad about rain, but.
Yeah, you can't, I mean, it's good. It's like a.
Well, if anybody ever says, why don't you, who cares about, it's so slick out there that you couldn't have gone around the track even if you wanted.
Never know when it's going to stop.
Right.
You know, you never you can't turn it off. And it is bittersweet. We won our rain. Just, you know, but, race day.
Yeah, but, you know, Nick was happy for the kids. They got theirs.
Most of their
racing in.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the little cars, the bodies were clean, and the tires were packed in mud.
Oh, this morning on KOSI?
Yeah, so the KOSI patio looks like a little pig pen.
Ooh.
The cars were clean, but they never got to the tires themselves.
Did you get a talking to, Dave?
No. They're not going to talk to me. I was fine.
All right,
I was just glad to have them in.
Yeah, they looked tired.
Exhausted, actually.
Sorry, Nick. I would have as well.
Yeah.
Brendan seemed excited about one more clip.
Okay, let's play it.
If that's okay. Although our living legend to my left says, I've lived a lot since then.
Yeah, but see... Unfortunately, this is a motorsport show.
And we want to preserve this history.
We want to get it on tape. So let her rip, Tater Chip.
Lining up for the start. And they're away. Ron Preston taking the lead on the inside. Autry comes high. Preston rides him out in turn two. Down on the inside comes Moran. Back comes Autry on the inside. It's Preston in front. Takes a wide sweep. Autry comes down the inside. Moran on the inside. Here they are in turn number one. What a battle. Preston fights off. Scott Autry another time. Back at turn number three, Autry up on the inside. Preston still in front. Autry goes for the lead. No, Preston holds on. World quarterfinals. What a dogfight. Preston in front of Scott Autry. The Calexico kid in front by three bike lengths. Then Autry reels him in another time. White flag, one lap to go. It's still Preston with the lead. In second, Scott Autry. Checkers about to fly. Ron Preston out in front. A beautiful ride. He's going to upset Scott Autry. And 3 points for Ron Preston. 2 points for Autry. 1 point to be scored by Sean Moran. Dave Despain with the winner.
You feel like your fate now is in Penhall's hands. If he wins, that's it, huh?
Well, no, I'm really looking forward. You know, it's not just for me to win, but I want the best person to represent the United States. You know, and that's what I told him all along, that the top two should go in no matter what.
How you doing there, Ron?
Yeah.
There's emotions on his face right now.
It's hard to relive that.
Yeah.
We won't do that to you anymore. Okay, Brendan, I can't make him relive it.
Yeah, you've got 20 interviews probably stashed someplace.
No. So I heard Calexico Kid. I've read Antifreeze Man. Like, how many nicknames do you have? Rocket Ron? Like,
that was Bruce Flanders came up with that because... Preston, Prestone.
Got it.
And Bruce Flanders was the best thing out there in San Berdue.
Yeah, Bruce was, really.
Yep.
So, and Calexico Kid.
Well, we grew up in Calexico. My dad was a crop duster pilot for 40 years out there.
Right.
Can you believe a crop duster pilot lasted 40 years? Because their life expectancy never was really that good, right?
Why, because of the chemicals or the flying? What part?
The flying.
Oh, okay, because they're up and down. Yeah.
So that's actually where I rode my first speedway bike was on a dirt crop duster strip. And it's right next to Interstate 8 by Holtville out there.
Oh yeah. I drove by there just the other day.
And it has a barbed wire fence on one side and a drain ditch on
the
other
straight,
side.
Stay straight. Focus. That taught you focus?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's amazing.
Not a good place to learn
the first time. Nah, it's not a good place to learn.
No, but...
So you raced for 10 years?
Yeah, I started in 73 and rode to 83 and rode here in the States till into 78.
So why'd you quit?
In 1982, after we raced 4 years in Europe, one of the guys on our team, Denny Pyatt, was killed outside of London.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of took the wind out of our sails.
It's funny how that is. I know exactly the feeling. Yeah.
So a few of us just decided that was enough.
That was enough. Yeah, you don't want your number to come up. Not necessarily.
Yeah, and I felt like it was coming up.
Yeah. Well, what's that old saying? If you ride a motorcycle, have you ever been down? No. Mark your calendar.
Yeah, it's coming.
Because that day is coming.
My mom did. She didn't go down. She felt it in her gut, her last ride, and brought the motorcycle home and told my dad, I'm done.
Yeah, but she likes the monkey.
Yeah, but she used to commute on two wheels all the time. But she races, then went off racing horses. So,
But she's cracking me
more
up.
More dangerous.
She was cracking me up, telling me how much she likes riding it.
Oh, the monkey. Oh, yeah. She loves. She's got her eye on the prize.
Yeah, I know.
She wore it more, or she rode it more than I did at the pits.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
That's okay. I trust her with it.
Oh, heck yeah.
She's got more experience on two wheels than I do.
So you got done. How old were you when you hung up the helmet?
I was 26, I think.
Now you have a career. You got to find a career, right?
Yeah, I did all kinds of things after that.
Yeah, okay.
But we promoted a memorial race down in El Centro for Denny Pyatt.
Oh, very nice. Did,
and all the top guys came and introduced Speedway.
So did you get out of motorsports altogether?
Wait, I want to hear this. Wait, can we go back? And did what? They introduced Speedway?
Yeah, we introduced them to El Centro, and it's generally a sprint car, stock car town. And desert racing.
Right.
But had a great crowd. I think it was one of the largest crowds they've had. But we had Bruce Penhall and all the top Speedway riders came. And then we had Bruce Flanders, and they'd never experienced anybody like Bruce as a commentator.
Yeah, he was great.
And we did, I think we did 5 or 6 years of that.
Oh.
And,
as a promoter?
Yeah, as a promoter.
Yeah.
That's not easy, is it?
No, that's a whole different...
It's not as easy as it looks.
No, and all the years that I ground the promoters, I felt bad.
Oh, did you go back? I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like through the 12-step program, start with each promoter and apologize.
Oh, really? Sorry, I called you that.
Oh, and the weather's usually nice down there, but it starts to rain the day before the race.
Oh,
and
you got to decide by a certain time.
Oh, yeah. When are you going to pull? That's like what we didn't do last night.
Yeah,
you know?
Who knew? I saw 2 to 4.
Knew.
That's it.
No, you knew.
I saw 2 to 4. That's it. Less than 50%. Like you don't know. Right.
Well, if you get to England, if you don't race in the rain, you don't race.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
And you're looked down upon, I'm sure.
Right. Well, and over there, the difference with motocross and all the other racing is you're Saturday and Sunday you're at the races. Speedway runs 7 days a week over there.
Really?
Well, you were doing what, 4 when you're in high school? 4 days a week?
Or? So that's popular in Europe, 7 days a week.
Oh, my gosh. Well, when I got there in 79, I rode, it's funny, we were laughing. I was with Penhall and some other guys the other day, and he said, really? I was telling him, the worst we did was we did 9 nights of racing in 3 countries.
Oh.
And I thought that was something. And Penhall goes, I think he did 32 nights in a row.
What?
And, he was in a different league.
Sure,
All the same league as British League Speedway, but he was just, he had mechanics and managers, and the rest of us were working on our bikes and driving.
I heard along the way, Penhall did not like to work on his own motorcycle. Do you know that to be true?
Until he had kids, and then he worked on their bikes. But
he didn't like to work on his.
No.
I don't blame
him. How about you? I don't know. Sometimes you trust yourself the most, or, what about you?
In 75, Bruce Crower taught me how to degree a cam in, and that got me a sponsorship from the Westlake factory in England years later.
Wow.
So it was nice to be able to build your own engines and... you had more satisfaction when it was your own engine that you built
and
won a race.
And if it broke, you don't want to have. I mean, you don't want to have to go after somebody else.
Yeah.
Because I've told this a million times. When I raced, I just raced carts. I didn't have enough money to do what you guys did. I would take my cart and my checkbook to the guy Sanger, and say, "Call me when it's done. And if I lose, it better be my fault." And that was my motto. All right, we got to take a quick break. We got a really good guest.
Oh, yeah, we've talked to him before.
We've had him.
I feel like it was after his first race, or
and
first
I
win
think
or something.
He won after being on radio with us. And that
course.
Would be Chris Carnish. He's be with us, and he just, I think he won a factory stock division. We'll have to find out when we come back. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
Answer.
What?
Answer.
Where you been?
Taking a picture for a friend.
She's
a fan of Gallagher.
This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway, 18700 Lake Paris Road in lovely Paris, California. Go to parisautospeedway.com for all your updates on scheduling, racing, cancellations, heaven forbid. But they've only got a few more races coming up, and we've got Chris Carnish on the line.
Again!
He was on before, and I think he might have won a race after talking to us, which we told him he would do, but we're not sure. And he's going to talk about the next race coming up. Because, hey, Chris, welcome to the show. You're what, second in points?
No, I'm actually the point leader right now, Dave.
Hey!
Leading all year.
Fantastic. And you're in the factory stock division.
Correct.
And I guess your next race, if people go to the Paris Fair, the ticket gets them into the race.
Correct. Yeah, this year we're racing. It's my class, the factory stocks and the street stocks. We're racing on Thursday night during the SoCal Fair. Everybody's ticket to the fair gets you into the stand to watch our race. The racing's going to start at 7. We're only doing heat races and main events for both classes that night. So just we're not on the track one session less than what we normally are for the night. So, yeah.
So how far ahead are you points-wise to the second-place guy?
Right now I have an 11-point lead over the second place.
That's not good. I mean, it's good.
It's good, but...
It's good, but it's good if it's not.
Yeah, you'd like to see 111-point lead.
I'd like to see at least a 20-25-point would be decent.
Yeah, but that's all right. Yeah. Hey, that's half of it, right?
It's a struggle. I mean, this year has been a complete 180 turnaround for me from the last seasons. I've been struggling the past 2 years. Getting my car to handle and such and everything to stay together. But this year, I got one of the guys, Larry Well, who's been working on my car, the guy in second place car, I think the fifth place car.
Oh, no.
Right now we have, going in our group, in our group that Larry works on us, going into right now, I think there's six of our cars that he puts his fingers on.
Oh, wow.
And going into next season, once this season ends and next season, in our little group, we're probably going to have 9 cars just in that he has his fingers on.
I can hardly get my one car ready.
Let alone.
I've been struggling with my one car. After our last race last month, I had some oil blow by coming out of the breather. So I got something to put on to sort of catch that. And as I pulled the valve covers off, come to find out, I had chocolate milk in my motor.
Oh, the head gasket.
Yep, exactly. On both sides as well.
I don't want to hear any of this.
I just got it put back together last week and just fired it off yesterday, actually.
And you're happy.
A lot better than what I was 2 days ago.
Okay, good.
And no more chocolate milk.
Yeah, good.
And then we're chocolate milk, yeah. I always put it all together. I've been doing this for a while, so I sort of know what I'm doing with wrenching on the car. But I was struggling coming home from work after an 11-hour day or so, and coming out the garage working on it. I was struggling, so I called the motor guy. I said, hey, can I bring it over to you? I said, because I guarantee you'll have it running in like 5-10 minutes.
Right.
Well, 30 seconds he had it running.
And you were struggling.
Yeah.
I get it. That's why I'm waiting for my guy to look at the motor.
Yeah, her motor. Yeah. Her motor's sick.
I was off by like a hair, like a millimeter on the timing advanced on the distributor.
Don't you hate that?
No, but live and learn.
No, don't learn. No,
yes.
You have somebody else do it.
Well, for the motor, yes. But I know people ask me, do you work on your own car? I'm like, as I break things, I find out where they are. I never knew where the starter was till I shredded it. Yeah. Hey, for listeners that end up at the fair and want to cheer for you, could you describe your car so they know who to look for?
It's a 75 Camaro. It's gray on the top half, purple on the bottom. My number's 26. The only thing that's different than any other normal 75 Camaro, I actually updated the nose and the hood. So I have a 2019 nose with an 85 hood on it. So it's still got the resemblance of a Camaro, but I have the newer style front end on it.
Right. And that makes it go faster. Hey, if you don't mind us asking, how's your dad doing?
He's doing good.
Okay.
His meds are all getting there. The only thing we're still trying to get up and figure out is his blood pressure medication. Oh, okay. Is up and down. But other than that, he's doing really good.
All right. Good deal.
About a month ago, he finally got the okay. He can start driving himself around now.
Oh, independence.
So, yeah.
So now it's just minor maintenance of meds. Yeah, and that's just maintenance of meds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All
yep.
Right.
That's great. And folks, if you're not aware,
he's doing good.
If you're not aware, Chris's dad ended up, I think, with a heart attack. And then you ended up...
2 years ago, yeah. 2 years ago. Well, no, going on 3 years ago now. He had a heart attack as he was driving cross-country because he drove big race cross-country.
Oh, wow.
Didn't think of it. Came back, came home, went to the doctors, and they ended up doing a five-way bypass surgery on him.
Wow.
Well, this past Father's Day weekend, they actually put him on the heart transplant list, and Father's Day weekend... hitting me again.
Yeah, I know. We
were like, do we ask?
We weren't
going to
bring
him?
It up, but yeah. we really care. And I just wanted to hear how he, as long as he's doing good, that's
he's
the
doing
key.
Good.
All right, you two are.
So
doing
great. Father's Day weekend, he had a full on heart transplant.
Wow.
And that night I had a race that night, and I won my. Won my second official race where I finally got to keep my trophy. my second official win victory overall.
Wow!
But technically, I've had four victories, but two of them I got dinged for motor issues.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. But that was my first beginning out racing.
Yeah. All right. Well, so are you? Then you're going to race. What's it? This coming weekend.
No, it's actually we were supposed to race yesterday. We were supposed to race yesterday. It got postponed because with the fair being set up this week, for fan safety and such, they decided to postpone last night's race.
Okay.
So no fans had a chance to get heard while everybody was setting up the fair and everything.
Gotcha. Did you get any rain up there? Because we got rained out at Barrage.
Oh, we got rain. Probably about... half hour, 45 minutes, it came down hard, but that was about it.
Yeah it took us out at
about 2-3 o'clock. Yeah, I know. I keep up with Ryan Fitzgibbons and Finger and all them. I come down once in a while. I came down and actually won race down there and raced when you were actually paying the out-of-town driver's pit passes, which that, I greatly appreciate you doing that for again.
Well, you know...
I didn't have a good night that night either.
Well, that's not good.
That's racing.
That's racing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we like to help out. Like, we're doing a spooky showdown with all the little kids and the mini dwarfs, so I'll be throwing some money at them as well.
I see that. That looks fun. Yeah, Paris, on Halloween night or weekend, because our championship night is also the 28th.
Mm.
We'll be handing out every race. We always hand out candy and autographs and such during intermission. So we'll be doing that again on Saturday on our championship night. I should say on Jerry Dodd championship night.
Mm. Yeah,
since they newly renamed championship night for him.
Yeah, I heard that. That was great. That was great.
You want to give a shout out to your sponsors? I see a bunch on the side of your car.
Yeah, I have to. My biggest one, like I say, is the biggest help is Larry Well at Wells and Son Racing. Like I say, without him getting his car set up, it wouldn't go around the track as well as it does.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Luke's transmission with the transmission, everything else that he builds for me and for all the other racers out there that he helps out. Prestige Golf Carts helped me out. My work let me take a golf cart here and there to the track when I go. I got freaking Performance Carbon Speed who went through and made sure my carburetor was okay and everything else. And Harley's Custom Cycle Works and Precision Engine. They're my main help with them putting my together. Without them, I wouldn't have the motor that I have to go out there and compete with everybody.
Very nice.
The motor that I have, that thing's been stay together for 4 years now.
Really?
Ooh, knock on some wood.
Maybe four races if I was putting it together.
You give yourself no credit. Now, did you ever get a food sponsor like I told you?
No, I haven't. Either with my work. I work all day, 10, 11 hours a day, and then I come home. Half time, I just crash on my bed and go to sleep. I'll come out, spend an hour or so as much as I can in the garage on the car. But half the time, I'm so spent with work, it's sort of hard.
Yeah. Well, if we ever hear any food sponsor that's looking for somebody to put their name on. Because I always think it'd be, wouldn't it be great? You go to the track, you don't have to bring any food. They just bring it for you.
Yeah, exactly. or stop by there and grab it on the way.
Park the car
up front, eat a little bit, and then take
See, he's selling himself.
For all the crew.
He doesn't realize, but that was smooth just now. I'll park my car outside your place while I eat.
That's right.
There we go. Well, that's what's going to come this race for the fair. Because I have to work that morning anyways. So I'll be taking the truck and trailer to my work. So I'll be sitting in Murrieta right outside my shop on Jefferson Avenue. So
very good. Very good.
Just going to be sitting there out in the open.
It's all about marketing, man. It's all about getting the word out. Yeah. Chris, it was always great talking to you.
You're a good one.
You're really a bright light in the motorsport community. And I think kids look up to you because of your honesty and fairness and sportsmanship. And just keep having as much fun as you possibly can, and we'll talk to you down the road.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I hope so. I mean, yeah, all the kids, I even hear the adults. They all come down to me. See? Oh, I love your car, the Minions.
Yeah, you got it. That thing is really cool.
Good luck.
What's your number, by the way?
26.
All right, so people take a look for it. It'll be the one up front.
Yeah.
Take care, buddy. We'll talk.
Start planning to be.
There you go. We'll talk at you later.
Cool. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, you guys. You guys take it easy down there.
You can bet on it. All right, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. We got some more of that flat track news.
Speedway legends
right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
That is precious.
Mom, if you're listening, Jules, I showed him a picture.
Is it
Jules.
A snuggler?
Yes. She loves my mommy.
Yeah. Climbs all over her.
Let me see. Sleeps all over her.
Oh, she is just.
Sleeps on her face, actually, is what she says.
That's just adorable. Yeah, she's in a good home.
Yes.
All right, so talk about our guest.
Well, the legend who has antifreeze, the rocket, like all these names, Ron Preston.
And he only did it for 10 years. He's got all these names.
Well, he was fast. He caught people's eyes. Something that we talked about in the green room, we didn't really, did we? Sorry, I say that because Dave doesn't like me talking to the guests, but they are very free with what they have to say, is Costa Mesa. We talked about the longevity of the Speedway.
Still running.
Could you elaborate on that a little
bit? Costa Mesa's still running?
Still running. That's what I said.
Over 50 years. We went to the Nationals last weekend.
It must be out someplace where there's no...
Costa Mesa Fairgrounds.
Oh, well, you know what? I think fairgrounds is the operative word. Yeah.
I don't know because Petaluma's having trouble with the fairground. Ventura, like, it's not easy.
Well, I didn't say it was easier, but I mean, you have a better chance of keeping a track when you're associated with a fairgrounds.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah, the logistics of having a track anywhere near community.
Yeah.
Well,
look at Glen Helen.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's been since you've been up there, but the houses are right on the edge of the property of the track. I mean, if you were to go off a berm the wrong way, you'd end up in somebody's pool.
Great.
Yeah. Well, let's keep it positive. Costa Mesa still open. That's where you raced. Your family would come and watch.
Yep.
And it was really nice to hear that it was still open. And Fink, you said?
Yeah, Jeannie Fink's still the scorekeeper.
Wow.
Since 69, I believe.
Oh, my.
That's some commitment there.
Yep. She's
I got
great.
A feeling she does it manually.
Probably.
Probably, yeah. Yep.
But sweet as ever.
What's That's your number?
Awesome.
What was your number?
55.
55.
Yep, that was my dad's raceboat number.
Too. Oh,
because that's what she was going to ask. She pulls photos up.
I do.
I don't know where she gets them.
And I know this is a radio show, not TV, but
you'll post them.
Ron,
online.
I was wondering, do any of these speak to you? Is there anything you could elaborate on, and let the listeners know what you're looking at? Any of those?
Yeah.
Oh, that one. I know where that is.
Bottom left.
Yep, that was down in San Bernardino.
Hot day.
You're wearing a full set of leathers, and the races are in the afternoon.
Oh,
it was
my.
A little warm.
Tell our listeners what you're looking at.
So
what
I'm
are you
looking
doing?
At a picture of me just crashed underneath a not crashed on my bike.
Right, that's a good clarification.
Taking in that.
Finding a little bit of shade. And then the picture to the right, that's the American Speedway team that went to Poland, I believe.
Is that 1980 or what was that?
That was probably 80. But
how'd you guys do?
I think we got silver medal in that one.
Wow.
But, you know, the guys on the team were just amazing. You know, I mean, we had American Speedway riders that were the best in the world.
Yeah.
When we went over there, and Bruce Penhall, first it was Scott Autry, then Bruce Penhall, and then a whole bunch of us went over.
Mm-hmm. How did they receive you guys, you Americans?
It was great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was great.
They didn't care as long as you were racing Speedway.
They started it, though, didn't they?
Well, no, we actually, Speedway goes way back. That's a little controversial.
I've heard Australia. I've heard England.
But we actually had a world champion in the 30s with Jack Milne and his brother Cordy. And they were from Pasadena, and I have no idea how they did it because they had to ride a ship over there.
Wow.
And it's tough enough when we got there. It wasn't any Google Maps and cell phones. And but we just, you know, a bunch of guys that cut their teeth at Costa Mesa and the local track, San Bernardino, Irwindale, Ventura, and it was amazing time to watch, you know, the American guys, wherever you went. It's sort of like football here where, you know, one team can have six guys from different states, you know. Well, each team had different guys from, like, England, Australia, Poland, and back when it was communist. And it was a crazy time, but the Americans just were really hands down above everybody else because the tracks we rode on were so small and your reaction time was so much faster.
Quick.
And when you got on those big tracks, it was just pure speed. And
maybe you could practice more just due to weather, do you think? You could practice 360 days a year.
Yep. I used to go practice out on a dry lake in El Centro. And nobody to tell you couldn't.
Just
out there. Well, you just made a circle and just put some cones out.
And just put in laps and got in shape. And
Because that's everything.
Did you just hold your breath the whole time? I mean, literally, it's 60 seconds start to finish.
You don't really think about breathing too much.
Yeah.
But it's pretty intense. The racing's real close. You know, the guys you're literally rubbing tires on your knees and elbows and, you know, at 65 and 70 miles an hour over
and
there.
And it seems like you're right on the verge of just going over.
Well, yeah, you're very rarely straight.
No, you're not, are you?
I mean, you've got that back tire turning so fast that it wants to come around that front tire more than you would know. And the only way to keep that from happening is you got to keep the throttle on.
Yep.
And the throttle really was more finesse because there was that sweet spot.
On the big tracks, it's wide open. You're going wide open almost all the time.
Right. What speed was it when you were overseas and it was bigger?
The tracks in Europe were 75 and 80, unless it was called a long track. And then we rode at Ascot on a long track on a half mile, which was pretty scary.
80 miles an hour?
100.
100 miles.
On a speedway
bike.
Again,
no speed, no seatbelts, no roll cage.
Brakes. No, the brakes are the ones that would, because if something was to happen in front of you, you're now part of it.
Right.
There's nothing.
Yeah, I've seen that.
There's nothing you can do except lay the bike down,
right?
Which is not
ideal.
A good idea either.
That never turns out good. But
The irony of this, in slow motion, it looks like ballet.
That's what it is.
And the irony of your girls.
And you don't ride a motorcycle like you do a speedway on any other bike.
Right.
It's completely different animal.
Flat track, you actually are straight for a while, down, like aerodynamic.
And then you throw it completely sideways.
I'm visioning it right now.
And a flat track bike is basically a street bike turned into a flat track bike.
Right.
I mean, similar.
Well, didn't they do some of that stuff,
Supermoto.
Supermoto. Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think the most challenging for me was in 79 when I was told that I could ride in. They called it the European Under 21 Championship.
Oh, yes.
But it turned out to be because there were other guys. I'm not European. I'm from America. Mm-hmm. And they invited us. So, and I was based in England, so I had to go qualify in Germany, and then I barely made it through the qualifying round. And then the next race was a semi-qualifier in Norden, West Germany, and I won that one on a perfect score. But the final was in Leningrad, Russia, and we drove from England to Russia.
My God. And no Google, like you said.
No Google.
No.
But there were a couple of guys that they called drivers, and you just hired those guys, and they drove us.
And just trusted they'd get you there safely.
In the back.
We went from Dover, England, to Calais, France, to Frederikshavn, Denmark, I think, and then from Denmark to Sweden, and drove across Sweden, and then drove into Finland and into Leningrad.
And but, had to be rested enough to go win.
And it was communist back then.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was a long drive.
Long.
Yeah, but I won that race, and then that was a fun trip home.
Oh, I bet.
Driving over there was tough, but driving home was nice.
Yeah, it's always sweeter when you got a trophy in the back.
Yeah,
it was.
Do you, and I don't know this, so there's no question in the green room, the Hot Shoe Hall of Fame, do you know, can you expand on that at all? Do you know much about
that? A guy that we used to race with, Gene Woods, mm-hmm. He started this, and it's got pretty big. And old racers that have a steel shoe hanging in their shop, mm-hmm. they send it to him, they sign it. He puts it on a plaque, and then every year they have a big banquet.
Right. Have you ever seen that shoe?
I see posts all the time, but I don't know the behind the scenes.
It's just strictly when you put your foot down, you can shoot.
Oh, yours. You're talking about, yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. There's a famous flat tracker. His little son is doing it now, and he got a little one of those, a little version of that.
Don't you hate
my dad
that.
Is going to kill me because I know the girl. Come on. Killing me. I love
10,
her a lot.
9, no. 8,
so anyway, next question. It's killing me.
Oh, you'll think about it halfway home. I'll hear tires screeching.
Just, she married a flat tracker. She was a flat tracker.
Give it up.
Her nephew's a flat tracker, and they got the little miniature shoe for him.
And your dad's not texting you and telling you.
Yeah.
So he's not listening.
Beat me up about it. Anywho, I want to know more about this Hall of Fame, because I think they also, like, donate shoes or something.
Yes, Gene does to homeless people walking around Las Vegas.
Regular
and
shoes.
And do you do some nonprofit as well?
I work at a church in Escondido, Emmanuel Faith Church, really big church. I'm the director of maintenance and...
Killer.
It's
rewarding,
great,
to say the least.
Oh, it's a great place to work.
All right, have you got any of your old bikes?
I have one hanging in the shop that I'm not ever taking down because I don't ever want to ride it again.
Oh, I was going to put it on KUSI TV.
He's not taking it down.
Yeah, he's thinking now.
I don't know.
Just maybe. put it on TV, take it back, and hang it back in the rafters.
It's going to go in Frank's museum down in Ocotillo.
Oh.
Well, if it's coming down to go there, let's bring it to KUSI.
Then you can advertise Frank's Museum.
And we can advertise Frank's Museum, and it won't cost anybody anything. Buddy, great talking to you. Stay in touch. You'll have to bring him back. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.